This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
And good morning, sports fans. It is Saturday morning. It is 9 a.m. on the 10th of September, and you are talking to a dead man. Yes, I am in trouble. Today, actually, as usual, I'm recording this on Friday night. And today, Friday, the 9th of September, is my mother's birthday. And I got so busy today, I totally forgot to call her. So I'm a horrible son, and I will be paying for it dearly sometime for you guys today. So if you don't hear from me again, it's because, you know, Mom took me out, and I actually deserved it. In the meantime, folks, you know, it has been a brutal week here in the Big Basin in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Most of you probably heard my show last week, and if you didn't, please go to thebigbasin.com, go to our archives, and there in the archive section is the audio from last week's show. Last week was a Friday morning. I'm going to try to get my thoughts together. Sorry, folks. Last week, Friday morning, we had a tragedy here in Alamogordo. Of course, it made national news, though not as big as you'd have thought, considering all of the other events of this type that have occurred. But what did occur is we had a police officer, two police officers, actually, that were out on routine patrol. They spotted a individual who had three felony warrants on him, and the actual reports are somewhat confusing. At some points it said it was a traffic stop, but my understanding is that he was actually on foot at the time. Either way, they did a routine stop on this individual, and the individual took off. Now, according to the press release that was put out on Monday, Labor Day, in the evening, about 5:30 at night, by the state police, who took over the investigation, as I knew that they would last week when I did my show, the state police told us that the suspect reached into some bag that he had with him and pulled out a revolver. Now, according to the police report, once the revolver came out, one of the officers then fired at the suspect. The suspect did not shoot first, according to the state police. So the one of the officers shot at the suspect and apparently hit him. Not killing him, just hit him, I'm not sure even where, and knocked him down. At that point, when the suspect hit the ground, I guess he rolled over or something, and then he returned fire at that point with the revolver that he had. And unfortunately killing one of the members of the two that was there, one of the members of our Alamogordo Police Department, Officer Clint Corvinus. As I said last week in the show and several times this week on different things that I put out there, I did not know Officer Corvinus. I knew last week that once I saw his picture I would recognize him, and sure enough I did. But just recognizing an officer doesn't mean that you know him. Lots of people, you know, you see him on the street and, oh yeah, I know that guy, but you don't know him at all. So I did not know Officer Corvinus, but I will tell you, from talking to his co-workers, his supervisors, the chief of police, the deputy chief, which we'll have an interview with here very shortly in this show, and seeing the outpouring of love here in Alamogordo this week, I will just tell you that he was a very good man. He had been an officer for about 4.5 years. And he is survived by his girlfriend, his mother and father, and his, I believe it's 14-year-old daughter, as well as other relatives. Now, while I'm doing this show, well, let me rephrase that. While you're listening to this show at 9 a.m., I'm actually up at the TASE Center here in Alamogordo, New Mexico, and if you are here in the Big Basin and you weren't sure where the tribute to Officer Corvinus or when and where it's being held, it actually starts here in a little less than an hour at 10 a.m. at the TASE Center up on Scenic Drive, which is directly, it's right where the college is. It's actually part of the college campus. And if you know where the Space Museum is, it is directly west of the Space Museum on the west side of Scenic Drive from where that is. Anyway, at the TASE Center, they're holding a tribute, and I will be there, and I will be setting up to record and hopefully live stream that event on Those Who Show Up Decide. So if there is some reason that you are unable to come to the tribute and you want to, however, see it, you can go to my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, and hopefully I'll have the live stream there. I'm sure the Alamogordo Daily News is also live streaming it, as well as other outlets. I'm sure that there will be numerous TV stations. Friday through Tuesday, we have had the TV stations out of Albuquerque, El Paso, in Alamogordo, paying attention to all the aspects of this story. And I think we're all doing a semi-decent job of covering it, and trying to get the information out. And personally, I see no reason that anybody needs to be jealous of who you're looking at. If you look at my page, great. If you get a better feed on the Daily News, even better. For me, it's more about you getting the proper information and being able to participate in whatever limited capacity you can. You don't have to pay attention to my silly page. Either way, I'm up at the tribute right now, and my daughter and I will be there, and we'll participate in whatever small way that we can, and we'll try to bring that to you. If there are any relevant speeches or things that happen, I will probably try to rebroadcast that as I get the recording of it sometime over the weekend, and I might even use a clip or two in next week's show. Either way, I'm rambling because, like I said, it's been a tough week. Friday, as I said, I don't know where I got lost in this, but so the suspect returned fire, shot Officer Corvinus. His partner was still advancing on the suspect. The suspect then apparently, according to the report, got up and started to run again, and it's at that point that Officer Corvinus's partner shot the suspect and apparently hit him in the head. And at that point is when the suspect died. That's when his partner turned around and saw Officer Corvinus on the ground. Of course, the place became flooded with sheriffs and as well as APD, fire, ambulance. Everybody descended upon that area. They did attempt to perform CPR and what aid they could to Officer Corvinus there. They did not perform any type of life-saving techniques on the suspect, and that, I'm told, is because the suspect had been shot in the head and he was dead. So, unfortunately, there was nothing that could be done for that individual. I am purposely not mentioning the suspect's name. I'm also purposely not mentioning Officer Corvinus' partner's name. I think it's been publicized, both of them, in the news enough. And if you're that interested in knowing that information, then you're more than welcome to go get it. I don't think I need to repeat it anymore. Officer Corvinus was transported to Gerald Champion Regional Medical Center here in Alamogordo. And it was up there that he was... I'm not sure if he was declared dead upon arrival or they tried to do something for him there, but either way, he did pass at Gerald Champion is the information that I have. That is the outline, the order of events that occurred according to the state police's report, and that is backed up by the witnesses that they interviewed, as well as the lapel cam of Officer Corvinus's partner. It was recorded, and apparently all of this is detailed there. My readers and listeners on Those Who Show have been asking me, are they going to release the video? I could only assume that they're going to. I've not heard that specifically, but knowing the way everything else has been going on here in our country with shootings that have occurred, police officers as well as suspects being shot, the videos are normally released. So I would expect that video to come out at some point. Now, another question that I got on one of my pages was, did I know whether or not they were going to release the autopsy results of those individuals, Officer Corvinus as well as the suspect? To which I responded, number one, I do not know that, and number two, even if it was released, I would not in any way, shape, or form publish that information. And there is an exception to that. If somewhere in one of those two autopsy reports there is some type of evidence that would change the narrative that state police put out, then yes, I would have to report on that. And I would not per se hide that information, but I personally do have faith in our law enforcement agencies, quite a bit of it, and our state police. Unless some other outlet reports that there's some type of discrepancy in that autopsy report, I'll leave that for other salacious news outlets to put out. I don't see any reason. As far as I'm concerned, that information is for the officers investigating the situation, the incident that occurred, as well as the families to know exactly also what did occur with their loved one. And it's none of my business. Absolutely qualifies as what I like to call Nunya. So I think that's the recap of what happened on Friday and some of the legal and investigative fallout from that. What I'm going to do now is I had the opportunity to speak with Deputy Chief Roger Schoolcraft on Monday. There was a very short notice press conference that was called because they had information as to the tributes and some of the events and the funeral that I'm actually at, again, as you're listening to me here. And so he had that, he did a press conference, I want to say it was 2:00 on Monday, and it was outside in the wind, and so TV stations, everybody covered it, but I had the opportunity to go inside with him and speak to him out of the wind, and not only I asked him to reread the press release, but then I also did somewhat of an interview with him. It's about 15 minutes long, and we talked about not just Officer Corvinus as an officer, but also Officer Corvinus as a man, and how the whole situation impacted the Alamogordo Police Department. So because we're back in the mode of trying to get back on track and in a way get on with our lives, does that mean forget? No, it doesn't, but we need to move forward, and I'll be talking about that extensively in our show. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hit one of our commercials, one of my sponsors, Amy and John Paul, who were voted best in Otero County for 2016 for their business 54 Towing. And I will tell you that Amy and John Paul, I did get interviews with them as well. I played those last week. They are some of the absolute foundation for our community. You'll hear about their business in the commercial, but I will tell you, as people, there are very few people in this city, in this county, that I truly consider patriots, and would, if they had had the opportunity to jump in front of that bullet, the two of them would have done it without hesitation. And I mean, they literally bleed blue for our officers, and they have just been everywhere that you could be in the last week in supporting the community, the family, etc. So let me play their commercial, then we'll go straight into the interview with Deputy Chief Schoolcraft. And when we come back from that, we'll probably hit one more commercial, and then I'll tell you some of the other stuff that has gone on this week and that is going on this week. So thank you for bearing with me, and let's get into our interviews.
Did you break down in the Big Basin and do you need a tow? Well, the best towing service in the Big Basin and surrounding area is 54 Towing. Amy and Jean-Paul have the trucks and expertise for whatever your towing needs are. From smart cars to semis, they will get it done. And if you're looking for a hard-to-find park for your ride, they also operate North 54 Salvage, the best salvage yard in Alamogordo. Just remember their slogan, we don't want an arm and a leg, we just want your toes. You can contact them at 575-585-9097. That's 575-585-9097. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
All right, those are show fans, I appreciate you tuning in. We're live on that, and I'm recording on my camera right now. And I'm honored to be standing here with Deputy Chief Roger Schoolcraft. Been a very good friend of mine for a long time, as well as most of the police officers here. I think you all know I look directly behind these guys. And every time your guys are the fire guys roll out of here hot, me and my daughter always say a quick prayer for your safety, as well as whoever you're going to take care of. It's something we feel very dearly and deeply. We were outside to do the press conference, so all the big news honchos got to see that. It was pretty windy. Can I ask you to do me a favor and redo it so we get a clear audio of exactly what the press release was, and then I'll ask you a couple questions about what's going on.
Yes, sir.
Please.
The Alamogordo Police Department wants to thank the entire state of New Mexico for their outstanding show of respect and support for our fallen officer. Law enforcement agencies, both local and far-reaching, have extended a hand of support during this tragic time, and we can only say thank you to each and every one of you. The United States Honor Flag has been brought to Alamogordo in honor of Officer Clint Corvinus. The Honor Flag was transported by Chris Heisler, who is the Chief Executive Officer and founder of the United States Honor Flag. The Honor Flag has traveled over 7 million miles since it began traveling after 9/11. After September 11, 2011 terrorist attacks, a flag was gifted to Heisler by the Texas House of Representatives. Heisler, with the flag in tow, set out for Ground Zero, the site of the fallen World Trade Center. Along the way, he helped organize one of the longest motorcades bound for Ground Zero. The Honor Flag will rest Officer Corvinus' side until the conclusion of the tribute. Numerous law enforcement guards will stand watch over Officer Corvinus and the Honor Flag until the conclusion of the tribute. Each time the Honor Flag is handled, a new pair of white gloves is used. Those gloves are then given to the fallen hero's family. A candlelight vigil for Officer Corvinus will be held at the Otero County Fairgrounds on Tuesday, September the 6th, 2016 at 7 p.m. A tribute to Officer Corvinus will be held at the Tate Special Events Center on Saturday, September the 10th, 2016 at 10 a.m.
Well, first of all, Deputy Chief, thank you very much for redoing that, because, like I said, I know it's a shock to my viewers out there, but Alamogordo gets a little windy.
Yes, sir.
And with that, sometimes the mics are not completely up to it. Now, we've got the official statement, and if you don't mind, I'd like to take a couple of seconds, ask some of the other questions that I'm getting, questions on my Facebook accounts, sure, and on social media. First of all, I heard what you said officially. Now I want to ask my friend Roger, the outpouring, the massive amount of flowers that are out there, the posts on social media, everything that's going on. You're a big tough guy. I'm a big tough guy. And I've been in tears this whole freaking weekend. It's just been even thinking about it. So I'm asking you, so everybody erase the uniform for a second. This is just my friend Roger. How is this affecting you?
We're a small agency here, small town America. You know, it's been something that we're all having to deal with on our own way. You know, I've knelt in prayer with Chief Seiling on several occasions, asking the Lord for strength and support through this. We've knelt and prayed with our officers as well. You know, like I said again, small agencies, with everyone's basically a very close-knit family here. And it's stung us pretty bad. So it's scarred us. It's cut us deep. But we are sheepdogs.
Yeah.
We'll bounce back.
Your job is to protect us.
Yes, sir. And we have so many local law enforcement agencies who have really stepped up. The Otero County Sheriff's Department has been wonderful. They helped us in many ways. But the most recent thing was doing the escort in
procession,
the honor flag. Yes, sir. And then the
which had a huge turnout.
Yes, sir. It was a huge turnout. And so that was very heartwarming, but gut-wrenching at the same time.
Absolutely.
Being in that procession and seeing all the wonderful people in this state who took time out of their lives. To honor our officer.
How long have you been with the Alamogordo Police Department?
I've got about 15 years here.
15 years with the department?
With this department.
So, being that Officer Covinas had only been with us for 4.5 years, you obviously knew him.
I knew him every step of the way.
Every step of the way.
Yes, sir.
Tell us how he was as an officer.
Outstanding. I mean, a field training officer, it's a pretty stringent process. And not only to be selected as a field training officer, but also take one of the troops under your wing and train them. So he had a huge responsibility on his shoulders as a field training officer. When I was also a patrolman a long time ago, I was also a field training officer. And it's a big added stressor on you to make sure that you not only keep yourself and your trainee squared away and safe, but you also teach them something during that phase. So, he had taken on that burden as a field training officer, and he had done an outstanding job.
Me personally, in most of my military career, I was also a trainer in one level or another, whether it be in aircraft maintenance or otherwise. And you have to, as a training officer, you have to be the example.
Absolutely.
You have to do it by the book.
Yes, sir.
Because you have that trainee who they may be 30 years old, but they are somewhat of an infant.
Yes.
And they don't know what is right, what is wrong. They learned what the academy showed, but then you gotta learn it. What's in the book and what's on the street can be radically different.
Well, you know, my attitude towards field training officers is look sharp, be sharp, act sharp. And, you know, the way that we train our officers can make the world of difference in how well they do on the street.
Absolutely.
We really depend on our field training officers to be our first line of supervision for these new officers and trainers, and to make sure that we end up with a well-groomed, sharp police officer.
And the Alamogordo Police Department as a unit has brought on a lot of new officers.
Yes, sir, we have.
Over the last, what, year or so?
Yes, sir. We're trying to get up to full staff. We recently are getting hired 5 new officers who have had no training or experience in law enforcement. And we're going to be hiring 2 more in the near future. They will either be served by waiver officers who have gone through an academy, or they're already certified in the state of New Mexico.
So basically, though, these officers, if they're completely inexperienced, have to go to the academy.
They have to go through what I call the full mill deal. They have to go through our pre-academy here at the police department. After they finished our pre-academy, which is basically a prepper for the New Mexico Law Enforcement Academy, they'll go up there for 16 weeks. They will come back, then they will go into at least a 90-day field training officer program. The field training officer will be with them at every step.
And that's essentially what Officer Covinas did.
Yes, sir.
Was that post-academy training.
Yes.
And when I became a military training instructor down in basic, that's exactly what we did. You got down to the unit, not having a clue what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You got to be what we called a pre. Mm-hmm. And you hung around a very experienced officer and got the idea of what you're doing, and you made sure that you were physically fit, your uniform squared away.
Yes.
I thought I was sharp until I got down to Lackland and found out I had a long way to go to get up to that speed. Then you went to the academy, and then you came out, and you got stuck with a post-trainer, and that was brutal. Because you had to be right on it, and because the objective is when you graduate from the entire program, you're on your own.
You're a finished product.
Yeah.
If during the FTO program at any time we feel that the officer is not picking up as quickly as what we would like to see, we can always extend them. And, you know, some people are, they learn visibly, some, you know, visual. Some people are more physical. They have hands-on type of experience. They learn more from that. So we kind of adjust our training around that specific new officer. And if he's needing some more help with understanding the state statutes or the municipal codes or geographic locations, we assist them along with that as well.
And I'll tell you straight out that when I was at Lackland becoming that drill, I needed the extra help as well. There was options. I mean, there were some really sharp people who got through it in a month and a half to 2 months. me, I drug out every day of that 90 days. And yeah. And even later on, had to go back for some remedial on a couple of things. And I'm not ashamed to say that, because it's training. It's making sure you do it right. And that's what's important.
Yeah, everyone learns at a different rate.
Okay. Now, a question that I don't mean to get your heart choked. So, and I know it's tough right now. But so we understand Officer Venus as an officer. How is he as a person?
Well, I'm 59 and Clint was 33.
Mm-hmm. Father-son thing?
Well, more of a mentor type thing. I didn't really do a lot of social stuff with him because he was more of his peer group doing their thing on their days off. I just know that when he would come upstairs in my office, very respectful officer, always full of life and energy and excited about things. He was very proud to be a police officer. And so on that note, knowing him in that respect, as a part of the command staff, he was just one of those officers you'd like to carbon copy, or you like get a prototype of them and keep reproducing them.
Just clone them.
Yeah.
Just clone them.
Yeah, that's a good word, clone.
And in every department, you've got some really outstanding sharp, and you've got some that need a little help. And that's just the nature of the business in any group that you have. But you're telling me that he was one of that top group.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Information question I asked it outside, like clarified, because I have been getting this question. With Officer Gravinas on that day, there was another officer immediately there during the incident. And then, of course, the flood of officers that came in. And there's been a lot of rumors out there as to whether or not the other officer or any other officers were injured in any way during the incident. Can you address that in whatever
way you can? Well, what I can do is, as far as that addressing the question, Chaz, is that the New Mexico State Police has asked us to honor their request.
Yep.
To let them do anything that has to do with people that were there or whatever involved, that will come through their press release.
Okay. If you can't answer it, don't. But I think you answered it outside. Do we need to be concerned about any physical injuries to any other officers?
No, none of the other officers are injured.
Okay, that's the biggest question that's out there. Is obviously our focus has been on Officer Covinas, but there has been the question about other officers.
None of the officers are injured.
Okay, so that's huge, and it's a great weight off of myself as well as other people out there. Okay, so you mentioned that there is a candlelight vigil tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Fairgrounds.
7 o'clock.
Okay, essentially the same thing we did for the Dallas
folks. Yes, sir.
Folks.
The
okay. Okay, got that. And then the next event will be a tribute.
That's correct.
Okay, and that'll be on September 10th, Saturday, at the Taze.
10 o'clock.
At 10 a.m.
Yes, sir.
10 a.m. next week, Saturday. Okay.
There will be we will be playing a procession from the funeral home to the Taze Center.
Okay.
Once we've established that route, we will publish that, so the folks here in Alamogordo like to come out again in support of our agency, law enforcement in general, and Officer Covinas and his family. We would love to see them out.
And what I will say is, what I will do is, I will, like I did the other day when you brought Officer Covinas back, is I'll make sure that there's a map out on my page that the people, instead of worrying about which direction, just look and there, that's where they want to be. And obviously, we don't want them grouped at one place or the other. We want them spread out as much as possible along the route so that he's escorted in a cordon the whole way. Okay, that would be great. Is there anything else that you would like to tell Alamogordo Otero County?
It's just, thank you again from the bottom of our hearts for your thoughts and prayers and your love and reaching your arms around this police department during the really rough time for us, and we really want to thank you all for that.
I have to absolutely commend you and Chief Seiling. I know you both personally, and I know how this is ripping your heart out, but I have to commend you both on your professionalism throughout this. I've never had to do anything at this level. I've had to do similar things, and it's brutal. It's brutal. And so I want to offer my appreciation for your professionalism.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Chief, Deputy Chief, I appreciate you very much. No, you're good. Those who show fans, again, with Deputy Chief Roger Schoolcraft, We're out. I'm going to repost this information on my page as quickly as I can. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you.
MDC Computers on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and 12th Street is the only place in town that meets Master Sergeant Chez's computer needs. Devin and Chris repair computers, clean viruses, transfer data, sell new and used computer equipment, and have the knowledge and reasonable pricing to solve just about all of your computer issues and needs. You can contact them at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600. And tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And as I'm sure you heard in Deputy Chief Schoolcraft's voice and in what he told us, that it has been a really tough week for the Alamogordo Police Department. And I'll tell you, from what I've seen from other departments that have stepped up and been around this week to support the Alamogordo PD, that it has not just hit our officers here at the Alamogordo PD. It's hit the Border Patrol. It's hit the sheriffs. Oh, they have been everywhere. Every agency, state police, etc., in the Big Basin has been at every event that has occurred. In fact, at the vigil, we had a candlelight vigil that Deputy Chief mentioned in the press release. That happened on Tuesday night. And I didn't even know we had that many agencies. And I will also tell you that you would think it's obvious, but I want to mention it, that many of the commanders, chiefs, etc., from Holloman Air Force Base came in. The wing commander was there. And I was standing at the gate, and I saw these guys coming in. And that what surprised me, but shouldn't have, is then the one star off of White Sands Missile Range. Actually, I think he was off Fort Bliss and came up from El Paso off Fort Bliss. And he was there last night. I didn't catch his name, but, you know, I snapped to and saluted him. I'm sorry, I'm a retired mass sergeant. I'm incapable of not doing that. And just introduced myself, retired Sergeant Sanchez. Nice to meet you, sir. You know, that kind of thing. And his little lieutenant chasing after him. I always love watching little LTs chase after generals and not have a clue what they're doing. But they were doing something, that's for sure. So anyway, but yeah, just the outpouring of respect and support for the Alamo PD has been immense. But also the tears, because many of these officers, even though they were with other agencies, whether ambulance or police officers, sheriffs, border patrol, etc., they also knew Officer Covinas personally. And as I've said many times, I didn't. I recognized him when I saw his picture, but I didn't know him. These guys did know him. These guys did go on patrol with him. These guys did do joint operations with him. And obviously, I mean, he was a trainer for the Alamogordo PD, so you don't get to be a trainer just by hanging around long enough. You really don't. I did that myself, and I would rather go back through basic training 5 times back-to-back in a row than ever try to become, in the Air Force, what we call a military training instructor or drill sergeant, in the common vernacular. That training, that was probably the hardest thing I ever did. That almost killed me. But yeah, the outpouring of support and effort and everybody that has come around our police department here in Alamo has just been absolutely amazing and overwhelming. So let me tell you a couple of quick stories of things that have happened this week in our area. For those of you in the national audience that would like me to be screaming and yelling about Hillary and emails, or Trump and is he best buddies with Putin, and Gary Johnson and his Aleppo comments, you can see some of that reporting on my Those Who Show Up Decide. I think you should absolutely, I'll make a quick national news comment and just say that the fiasco that came about as a result of Gary Johnson, who is our Libertarian Party presidential candidate, former governor of New Mexico. He was asked a question for me yesterday, I think it was on Thursday, in semi-mock debate where the presidential candidates were all going to one station and the same set of guys were asking them questions. They were just not debating each other. They weren't there at the same time. Well, Gary Johnson got asked, if you become president, what are you going to do about Aleppo? And that's it. That's where they dropped it, just Aleppo. And Gary Johnson had this blank look on his face with no clue. You could just see that the clue light was off. Now, you may think that I'm rebuking Gary Johnson, okay? Trust me, I am absolutely not. Because, I wouldn't be doing this show if I didn't pretty well keep tuned into the national, international, local, etc. news. And when it comes to the war in Syria and the refugee crisis and all the results, you know, ISIS, definitely one of my favorite groups of people, I'm pretty well tuned in. And I think I could go toe for toe in one of these debates with the candidates, because it's mainly about, there'll be policy questions that I'd never be able to answer. But as far as like current events and what's going on and what I think should be done about those things, I think I'd go toe to toe with some of these guys. And so Gary Johnson, yeah, the clue light was off. He had no idea what Aleppo was about. And he finally said, okay, what's Aleppo? And the reporter kind of snarkily said, you know, that's like the epicenter, the central area in Syria where ISIS is. Now, Raqqa, I think is how it's pronounced, or Raqqa, is the de facto capital of the ISIS caliphate. If he had said Raqqa, I'd have been, bam, I'd have been right there. Aleppo? I've heard the name now that I realize it's in Syria, but there's no way I've been able to connect a dot to that. And I'm not going to call out Gary and anybody that is saying, I saw one interview with, I think, Neil Cavuto on Fox News, where he's like, is this the end of your candidacy? Really, dude? He couldn't figure out, he didn't click on one word of a relatively small area in Syria. Not that there aren't atrocities going on there, there are, but dude, get a life. If that is your litmus test, then wow, you got issues. They're going to throw Gary Johnson out of the race for that, but they're not going to say a word to Hillary about emails. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be doing that. So I, for one, give Gary Johnson a complete pass, and I wrote a little spiel on that on my page. You might want to go to look at it and be amused. But let's get back to the local events. So Tuesday night we had the vigil, and it was put together by the Otero County Law Enforcement Appreciation Committee. And if you ever want to look at their Facebook page, they just changed the name. It used to be Otero Law. Now it is LEO, L-E-O, Law. I think Facebook made them change their name. I'm not clear why. But they have about 1,200 likes on their page, more than mine. And people do watch that page for what's going on in local law enforcement and first responder issues here in Otero County. I know the people that are on that committee. I am not on that committee myself. And they, well, there are, you'd be really hard-pressed to find hearts larger anywhere, especially for our law enforcement, than the people that are on that committee. And when this happened, they kicked it into gear to begin to organize and get things set up and take as much of a burden off of Chief Seiling as they possibly could in making any arrangements they could, coordinating with the community, with churches, etc., to make sure that the opportunity was there for the community to come together. And you always have the concern, how's the community going to react to this type of thing? And obviously around the country, there's been some positive reactions, and there's been very vividly documented by some of the news agencies, really bad reactions in some communities over officer shootings and, of course, civilian shootings. And I understand that there is huge concern about some of these, some of the officer-involved shootings, and I think that's appropriate that we be concerned about that. I'm not going to go off on that tangent. I'm going to stick with Otero County. So, bottom line is that the folks at the Law Enforcement Appreciation Committee just kicked it into high gear, did a fantastic job all week this week, keeping things together, making sure the family is supported and the PD, etc. The Candlelight Vigil Tuesday night started at 7 p.m. And I and a couple of my friends, and this isn't bragging, I want to tell you something that happened, and I kind of have to say what I was doing. A couple of friends of mine and I stood at the gate where all the public was going to come in to the candlelight vigil at the fairgrounds, and we just had a couple of buckets, you know, like you'd buy, you know, just 5-pound tubs of ice cream for parties and stuff. We had those buckets with us, and what we were going to do was just ask. We labeled them with Corvinus Family Fund, because there is a GoFundMe page for the Corvinus family, his 14-year-old daughter and his mom and dad, funeral expenses, etc. Well, on that GoFundMe page, they had their goal was $10,000, and as of, I want to say it was yesterday I looked, it was over 9,700, and I'm sure they've broken $10,000 by now on the GoFundMe site. But we also wanted to see, you know, if we can grab a couple of bucks to help throw into the bank, which, by the way, the bank that's handling that account is Western Bank. A good friend of mine, Dion Kidd, is the president, and I bank there personally. And not to throw a plug for Western Bank, but I'll tell you, that's another reason I live in a small town. I walk into that bank and I know everybody. And it is personal service at the utmost there. And that is a leadership thing. So anyway, they're handling the account. So if anybody's listening and they're in our area and they want to donate, not sure where to, if you're a national audience, please go to the GoFundMe, GoFundMe.com, type in Officer Corvinus into the search box, and you will see the GoFundMe page, and then you can donate $1, $5, whatever you have. If you're in town, it's a little bit better to go to Western Bank to do that, because Western Bank does not charge any fees to the family for servicing that account. GoFundMe is a business. So they do take a small percentage, and I don't blame them for it. I'm not offended by it. That's what they do. And so they do take a small percentage. So if you've raised $10,000, that large a sum of money, I'm sure like $200-$300 comes off the top to pay the fees for GoFundMe. So if you want to make sure your entire dollar, whatever, goes to the family, go to Western Bank. So we're collecting money. All these people are coming in, and what we just said, hey, if you got a couple of bucks, you know, please throw it in the thing for the Corvinus family. Well, it got real close to 7 o'clock, so we started at 6, 7 o'clock. I had to go do something involving the ceremony. I had to help out with that, and I asked the ladies that were with me to do me a favor and please go count the money, each of them counting it once themselves, and that way we'd have a good idea how much we raised before we turned it over to the Law Enforcement Appreciation Committee to donate it and drop it into the bank. I figured we'd get $500, maybe $800. One of the ladies figured, oh, we'll break $1,000 easy. Maybe, you know, small town, but there's a lot of people here. We'll see what we do. Those ladies couldn't even see the vigil. They spent the entire hour counting money, and they came back after the crowd had broke up, and sure enough, we had raised $1,700. Blew me away. And not to mention the candlelight vigil was so well put together by the Law Enforcement Appreciation Committee. They had a bagpiper, they played taps, there were singers. I think we sang Amazing Grace, God Bless America. There were prayers said, there were personal stories told. It was just one thing after the other. If you were in that crowd and at no point you didn't have your eyes welling up with tears, goosebumps going up your back and on your arms and the whole thing, then you just need to go find the big hole in the ground, 6 foot by 3 foot, and just jump in, because you're dead. You have no heart, no feelings. It would have been impossible. And the amount of friends of mine, and I knew a lot of people in that crowd, that came up to me and were hugging me and crying on me, and I'm crying on them. I'm just a big blubbering baby when it comes to this past week. So, but we got through that. That was extremely well put together. This week there have been a lot of fundraisers. Border Patrol did a burger burn for about 4 hours on Thursday. I think it was yesterday for me. So on Thursday they did that. They told me, which I'm not questioning their integrity, I just don't know how they did it. They said they ran out of burgers in the first half hour. They served something like 600 burgers in 30 minutes. I don't know how you cook 600 burgers in 30 minutes, but they somehow managed to do it. And they showed me the 5-gallon jug, like you take to that little water station thing to fill up with water. They had that stuffed with money. They had to cut. They're going to have to take a sawzall to cut that thing open to get that money out of there. There's just no other way to get it out. And just at looking at it, yeah, they probably pulled at least $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 to add to that fund. There are other fundraisers going on. We're going to do a commercial here in just a minute, our last one for the day, and then I will go down the list of all the different other fundraisers that are also happening for the Corvinus family to help them handle the funeral expenses and anything else that comes up. People have asked me, Chez, where is the money going to? Who's handling the money, etc.? Well, I can't speak for those who are. Where exactly is that money going to be spent? What I do know is this. I know that some of it will definitely go to funeral expenses. Okay, I'm very confident of that. And again, not speaking for anyone. Okay, let me emphasize that. But what I do know is the people that are running the fund, that are collecting the money, that are depositing it and managing it and deciding where, you know, making sure it gets to the right account for the family and the bills are paid and whatever else needs to be done. These are people that are of unimpeachable integrity. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. I haven't asked them where the money's going. And I'm not going to, because I know these people. And I don't need to ask. And I know that there are a lot of, you know, you have an earthquake somewhere and, you know, like Superstorm Sandy, suddenly there were all kind of GoFundMe pages for emergency help for this, that, and the other, Hurricane Katrina, things of that nature. And they're scams. There are people just trying to make a buck off the tragedy. And I think because of those things, it's a worthy question to say, okay, is this particular GoFundMe page legit? Is the money going to go to the good cause, whatever it might be? So it's not an unreasonable question to ask. So that is why I am telling people that watch me on watch my page, those who show up decide, and those of you listening on the air, the people that are running this are beyond question, period. So going to GoFundMe or coming down to Western Bank or, you know, or donating at one of these things, I am confident, beyond confident, that the money is going to be spent appropriately. Nobody's going to Monaco on that money, for sure. We can all think of ideas that the way the money should be spent. Well, here's my response. If you're not comfortable, if you don't think you can trust a particular thing, then you shouldn't donate, and I respect that. But if you're choosing to donate, then you are also choosing that, or deciding that the people that are running it, that you trust them to do the right thing. I trust them. If you have any faith in me and my gathering of facts for different stories I do, then I would ask you to take my trust and your trust in me and faith in what I report and apply it to them, because there are no better people here in this county when it comes to taking care of law enforcement, their families, etc. So right now, if I had to guess, you know, we're probably pushing 18,000 to 20,000 that has been collected so far. With the other things, fundraisers I'm going to be talking about here in a minute, that family's expenses and any future expenses that they might want to take care of for the daughter or whatever else, I think are going to be well covered. And that doesn't mean that you should not give. If you have it in your heart to give, then please do. And I will also tell you, as a person that's done, that's personally raised, documented, raised well over $250,000, probably by now $300,000 for various charities, the most important donation is one particular story. A guy comes up during this fundraising at the vigil, and he walked up and he's looking at the buckets, and you can see the pain on his face that he wants to donate. The guy reaches in his pocket and pulls out a dime. It was the last dime he had. He says, "This is all I got." And I said, "Well, that's 10 cents more than I had a minute ago, and I appreciate it, and thank you, and God bless." And he said, "Well, you know, when I get some money tomorrow, is there a place I can go?" And I told him about Western Bank and where to go. And he said, "Great." But the guy, I mean, just the fact that, you know, people reaching in their pockets going, "I don't have a dollar. What do I do?" Go to Western Bank. Go on GoFundMe. You know, and every dollar piles. You don't get to $15,000 by one guy writing $1,000 check and, you know, or 15 guys writing $1,000 checks. I mean, you can get it that way, but you're not likely to get there. What you'll get there with is if a lot of people donate a little bit. So if you got a dollar you want to throw in the bucket to help out that family now and in their future, go on to GoFundMe and do that. Come down to Western Bank and do that. We're going to hit a commercial for my buddies Louie and Chris real quick over at Most Wanted Mobile Detail. And once we get back from that, I will give you the rundown on the events that are happening this week so that there are more fundraisers. So just hang on. I'll be right back.
Are you too busy to wash your ride? Did the soccer team go nuts with soda and Frito chips in the minivan? Are you selling your ride and want it to look awesome? Or do you just want to look awesome? Well, Louie, Chris, and the guys are the best mobile detailers in town. They'll come to your work or home and detail your smart car through RV, your kids' tricycle through construction vehicles. If it's got wheels, wings, or floats, Most Wanted Mobile Detail are the guys to call. You can reach Louie at 575-415-0256. That's 575-415-0256. Most Wanted Mobile Detail. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
Okay, so let's go over what is happening this weekend and next week. So there is just a huge amount of things. Let me start off with about, I guess it's now 9 minutes from now, we will be starting at the Taze Center the tribute to Officer Clint Corvinus. It starts at 10 a.m. Taze Center, 2400 Scenic Drive in Alamogordo. If you still have the time to get up there, and I'm sure people will be coming in late, and in fact, I'm fairly sure that the place is going to be wall to wall in there anyway, which is why I will have gotten there by the time this show started. If you can't make it up there, then feel free to go to my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, and in one manner or the other, probably through a live stream, I will stream the entire event. I'm sure the Alamogordo Daily News with Tara and Jackie over there will be doing the same thing. I'm sure that the folks over at, I think it's 1210 Talk on the AM dial, that's Bill Burt's radio station. I'm sure Jamie Prather will be there, and she does all the live streaming for those guys on that Facebook page. So you'll have several sources to see it if you're unable to get there for any reason and you do want to participate. I'm sure that, I'm going to live stream it and it automatically records it to Facebook. So if you're listening to this some other time during the week and you want to see the entire tribute or parts of it or whatever, just go on my Facebook page and I'm sure the recording will be there. So that is what's going on right now. It's the final tribute and respectful farewell to Officer Clint Corvinus. So essentially that's Alamogordo's opportunity, Otero County's opportunity to have a funeral for that, our fallen officer there. Now, let's see. Saturday, September 10th, so this evening, there's a spaghetti dinner at the Fraternal Order of the Eagles, number 471, which is at 471 24th Street in Alamogordo, New Mexico. Now, the time I'm told, I put out the time is 4 to 6 p.m., but that's wrong. Somebody contact my Those Who Show page and gave me the clue pill, and let me see if I can get the right time now. They are doing it from, 1 second, 5 to 8 p.m. Okay, so 5 to 8 p.m. This evening for you guys over at the Fraternal Order of the Eagles on 24th Street. They're having a spaghetti dinner to raise money for the Covinas. Also, during the day Saturday, so probably the tribute's probably going to last about an hour, so about 11. This event starts at 11. It is the Crafters and Consultants Guild is having their monthly craft fair. It's an arts and craft fair that they hold at the Odd Fellows Hall, which is on 1400 First Street in Alamogordo. That is going to be from 11 to 4 today, Saturday, and that will also be they will be raising money. They're going to have a silent auction, bunch of stuff going on for that. That will be raising money for the Corvinus family. There's also going to be a lot of arts and crafts and other vendors there selling normal things, but I'm sure that most, if not all of them, will be contributing some of their proceeds, if not all, to the Corvinus family. So there'll be more money raised there. Let me insert a non-Corvinus thing real quick, and that is today, Saturday, is actually Oktoberfest, which is it's the big German festival that they have in Germany. And we have it here because Holloman Air Force Base has a German headquarters and flying squadrons that are right here on Holloman Air Force Base. So for, I think, is this the 20th year, maybe, that they've been doing this? They've been doing it for a very, very long time. And it is the full kit and caboodle Oktoberfest. By now, you won't be able to get tickets. You could have got tickets early for $15. You can get them for $17 at the base. You can go onto my Facebook page, go into my community calendar folder, and I will have the Oktoberfest flyers there. You can also go to German Oktoberfest. I think it's Oktoberfest on Facebook and look for the Holloman Air Force Base Oktoberfest. But that is starting, oh boy, I want to say 2:00 this afternoon, and it's going to go to 11 p.m. Anybody under the age of 18 must be accompanied by a parent, and at, I'm going to say it's 9:00, because I'm doing this from memory, folks. Please forgive me. Check the websites. 9:00, whether you're accompanied or not, if you're under the age of 21, you must depart at that point in time. And German beer, German food, games, music. It is a hugely fun time out there, and Alamogordo supported that. They're saying there's going to be one more Oktoberfest next year. If you're familiar with the Big Basin, the German Air Force is going to be leaving us sometime in 2017. So there may be an Oktoberfest next year, but this may be the last large one. So if you can make it this afternoon, come out and do that as well. What's next? Okay, so that was that. Now, I'm going to have to read a different flyer. Well, let me just go off of this one for now. Go to my Facebook page and look for the dark blue with a skull on it flyer that's there. It's for Our Country Kitchen, which is run by another couple. There are just so many people in our community that are so beyond outstanding in their giving. I can't even describe it. But that's Our Country Kitchen, and they, on Mondays, they have Blue Line Mondays. Anyone wearing blue gets 10% off a meal and free drinks. And they're also going to be selling the Back the Blue bracelets. September 14th, Domino's Pizza, all day raising funds. Recommend pre-orders for that. September 18th, which is next week, Saturday, 12 to 6 p.m., Active Fun Golf Courts Mini Golf is 100% of all their concession sales are going to this fund as well. So Alamogordo is getting out there. Obviously, the show's over. Jump over to my Facebook page, watch the tribute. God bless.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's very own privately commissioned Jim Henson creation. I'm talking about none other than that towering and talkative Alamogordian activist, Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. Before we leave, don't forget to send your Chez Bomb cereal box tops, request for autographed portraits, wage garnishments, and restraining orders to thosewhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.